presence by voting. Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
34 members present.
Representative Barnes.
Representative Davis is excused from the call of the House today. However, I note his presence in the House chambers.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Pastor Milton S. Hunt, Resurrection Lutheran Church.
Let us pray. Most gracious God, we give thanks for the arrival of summer in Alaska. We praise your holy name for the frolicking whales, the soon expected barges, and the midnight sun at Barrow. We thank you for the migrating salmon, the fleets of fishing boats and tour ships crossing Dixon Entrance. We're grateful for the playful seals and foxes, the rain and mist in the Coast Guard at Attu. We appreciate summertime with budding willows and increased oil crews at Prudhoe Bay. We glory in all your gifts that arrive with summer, just as the ducks, geese, and other birds return to their homes and nests in our great land. O Creator of the earth and heavens, we praise you. Now direct your special gifts of wisdom, patience, and tact to these legislators. Refresh them from their weariness as they have toiled long and hard in good faith for the good of our land and our people. On this special day, we recall the birth of one John, who wore a garment of camel's hair and ate locusts and wild honey. As he came to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus, so let us move forward in the spirit of his peace and brotherhood. Bless us, O Lord God, that we may both enjoy this beautiful summer and always give thanks to you. Amen.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we spread that very creative and beautiful prayer by Reverend Hunt on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 158th legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 158th day.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the journal for the 158th day be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so order. Are there guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I've signed the following bill and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 33, Finance, making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for a design of a statewide crime lab facility in Anchorage and providing for an effective date. Chapter 28, SLA 1983. Signed sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 33, amended by the Rules Committee, proposing an amendment to Rule 42A of the Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature relating to powers of conference committees.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 33, amended, is referred to the Rules Committee.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 24, by the Resources Committee, requesting that Alaska be exempted from legislation allowing abrogation of existing natural gas contracts.
Resources and Finance Committees.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
I have a letter of transmittal from the Commission on Judicial Conduct, Frank Flavin, Staff Assistant, transmitting the 1982 report of the Commission on Judicial Conduct, and this will be on file in the clerk's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 82, Finance, making reappropriations, transfers among appropriations, miscellaneous supplemental appropriations under consideration, recommends it be replaced with HCS for CS SB 82 Finance with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Pestinger, Ward, Jaroff, Duncan, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Adams, and Bettesworth, having no recommendation, Hurlburt and Martin. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 82 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 85, Finance, amending or repealing provisions related to state aid for health facilities, certificate of need, Medicaid, and general relief medical assistance, under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Duncan, Jaroff, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Pestinger, Martin, Adams, Bedesworth, and Ward. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 85 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 215, Second Rules, authorizing the use of Alaska Permanent Fund income to pay longevity bonuses, amending the longevity bonus program and the Permanent Fund dividend distribution program, under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with HCS for CSSB 215 Finance with the same title. It reports it back with individual recommendations and a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Abood, Ward, and Bedesworth. Signing if amended, Pestinger, Lindauer signed pass only if amended, and having no recommendation, Hurlburt, Jaroff, Duncan, Grusendorf, Adams, and Martin. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 215 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 260, exemption from municipal property taxation of certain property exempt from taxation under federal law, under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Pestinger, Jaroff, Duncan, Grusendorf, Bedesworth, Martin, Adams, and Ward. Lindauer has no recommendation. Senate Bill 260 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 294, compensation of state officers and employees not covered by collective bargaining, under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with HCS for Senate Bill 294, Finance, with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Ward, Jaroff, Hurlburt, Duncan, and Bedesworth. Signing do not pass, Pestinger. Signing do not pass unless amended, Martin. Having no recommendation, Grusendorf and Adams. Senate Bill 294 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 314, Finance, a supplemental appropriation for the operation of the legislature, under consideration. Recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred by Adams, Duncan, Jaroff, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Pestinger, Martin, Bedesworth, Abood, and Ward. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 314 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
In order that can reach the other body today, with your permission, I'd like to move that we take up the Wayne O. Hendrickson memoriam in memoriam citation as a special order of business at this time.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation in memoriam Wayne O. Hendrickson is before us as a special order of business.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask unanimous consent that all the members of the House be shown as, also as co-sponsors.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I move the citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. We are down to reports of special committees.
I have no special committees, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Daisy Lee Bitter by Representatives Furness and Barnes and Senators Kelly and Halford. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 444 by Liska, an act relating to unlawful restraint of a minor.
House Bill 444 is referred to the Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 445 by Liska, an act relating to attorney fees.
Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 446 by Liska, an act relating to stopping a motor vehicle at the direction of a peace officer.
Judiciary Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 27, amended by the Transportation Committee, relating to the designation of three sites for the application of high-float emulsion asphalt. The Committee on Transportation has had Senate Concurrent Resolution 27, amended, excuse me, Under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 27 Transportation with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Ms. Cato, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Locker, Phillips, M.W. Miller, Cato, and McBride. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute Transportation for Senate Concurrent Resolution 27 amended be adopted in lieu of the original resolution.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Transportation Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 27 Transportation pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 27 Transportation has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 20 by Rohde, Paul Fisher, Ziegler, Halford, Sturgiluski, Ferguson, Josephson, V. Fisher, and Curtula, supporting passage of H.R. 1176 and Senate 137 in the Congress of the United States, amending the Internal Revenue Code to allow certain home mortgage bonds to continue to be tax exempt. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had Senate Joint Resolution 20 under consideration, recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Furness, Chairman, concurred in by Euling, Cowdery, Wente, Malone, and Furness. Having no recommendation, Ringsted and Kopanen. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution 20 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the resolution for the third time?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 20 by Rohde, P. Fisher, Ziegler, et al., supporting passage of H.R. 1176 and Senate 137 in the Congress of the United States, amending the Internal Revenue Code to allow certain home mortgage bonds to continue to be tax exempt.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution Number 20 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, no nays.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 20 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 79, Resources, by the Resources Committee. An act relating to toxic and hazardous substances in the workplace and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Resources has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 79, Resources, under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. Report was signed by Mr. Ringsted, co-chairman, assigning do pass, Schultz, Bussell, Gall, Vasca, Liska, Euling, and Ringsted. Having no recommendation, Larson and Cowdery. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration. It recommends it do pass and endorses the Senate letter of intent and attaches a new fiscal note. Report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Lindauer, Hurlburt, Duncan, Grusendorf, and Bettesworth. Signing do pass, if amended, Martin. Having no recommendation, Abood, Ward, Jaroff, Pestinger, and Adams. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson, will the House please stand at ease? I just read the Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 79 in second reading. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 79, Resources, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 79, Resources, by the Resources Committee. An act relating to toxic and hazardous substances in the workplace and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, the only concern I had about this bill was on page 4, line 23, subsection C, which is substance in transit. And after reviewing Senate reports and all, I feel a little more comfortable about that. So I'm going to withdraw my say do pass with the amendment, and I will support the bill.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 79 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
The Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 79 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 79, Resources, be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection?
To brief at ease, Mr. Speaker.
The House, please stand at ease. Motion that the vote on the passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clauses. Is there further objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill has a Senate letter of intent. At this time, I move the letter of intent and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the letter of intent is adopted. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote in Senate Bill 79.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Malone for his vote on Senate Bill 79. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 156, Rules, by the Rules Committee. An act relating to the sale, lease, or grant of state hatchery facilities. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Ward, Hurlburt, Jaroff, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Pestinger, and Bettesworth. Having no recommendation, Duncan, Martin, and Adams. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 156 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 156, Rules, by the Rules Committee. An act relating to the sale, lease, or grant of state hatchery facilities.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, Representative Miller.
Please be briefly at ease again, please.
House, please stand at ease. Al. We have the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 156 before us in third reading. Are you ready for the question? Representative Winty.
Mr. Speaker, it appears that I would have a conflict of interest on this bill. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to abstain from voting.
I think I heard an objection. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 156 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
36 yeas, 3 nays.
The Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 156 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Kiyoshi Nagumo by Representative Grusendorf and Senator Eliason.
Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move the citation. Ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Representative Furness, did you want to move a citation as a special order of business?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I wanted to do so. It's my understanding the clerk is having it duplicated at this time, but if, with the body's permission, I will move the citation for Daisy Bitters at this time and ask for unanimous consent.
Why don't you move first to bring it up as a special order of business?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the citation be brought up for special consideration at this time, as a special order of business.
Will the clerk please read the citation?
Citation honoring Daisy Lee Bitter by Representatives Furness and Barnes and Senators Kelly and Halford.
Is there objection to the citation being brought before the body as a special order of business? Hearing none, it's before us as a special order of business. Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the citation and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection?
Objection.
There is objection.
It's coming now.
We have a brief at ease.
Will House please stand at ease? Is there objection to the adoption of the citation? Hearing none, the citation is approved. This brings us to the end of today's calendar and to unfinished business. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to deal with two bills in the limbo file today. House Bill 6 and Senate Bill 7. We will take up House Bill 6 first. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 6 Judiciary, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 6 Finance, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Clerk, please read the bill.
Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill Number 6 Finance by the Finance Committee, an act relating to driving a motor vehicle.
Is there debate? Representative Clarkson?
Somebody tell us the differences in the two bills.
Representative Abood?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to go by section numbers. Section 3. This provides for the court review of the license revocations. The Senate version provides for an administrative review by a hearing officer. In B, the court is authorized to grant review if the person, for good cause, was unable to make a timely request for a review. In the Senate version, review may be granted only if the person was unable to make a timely request due to a lack of actual notice of revocation or physical incapacity. In the Senate version, the hearing is to be held at the Office of the Department of Public Safety. This is different than we had in the original, where we'd go to court immediately. It's a hearing in the public safety, with the public safety officer, to be held at the office nearest the person's residence. The commissioner designates the hearing officer. The hearing officer may grant limited license privileges to a person whose license is revoked if the revocation is the result of driving while intoxicated and the person has no prior convictions. The person may appeal to the Superior Court for review of a hearing officer's determination. That's section 3. Are there any questions regarding that before I concede or go to the next section?
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, on page 4 of the bill, on line 12, if my review is correct, and I did this fairly quickly, and it's a detailed, complicated bill, my review indicates that in this section and in a later section, that the Senate has eliminated the right to a jury trial with regard to the revocation of a license because of failure to take a breathalyzer test, whereas the House bill specifically authorized a jury trial. Am I correct in my analysis of the Senate bill, Senate change?
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Specifically, give me the question again. Does this eliminate a jury trial? Is that what the representative is saying? It does not.
Representative Clarkson?
Adds to this, yeah. Actually, we're talking, if I may, Mr. Speaker, and I'm sorry, representative from downtown Anchorage, we're talking of Section 3, not Section 4. I haven't gotten to Section 4 yet.
Will the House please stand at ease?
I'll call my own.
Second.
Speaker, I don't know where to go from here except that the representative from downtown Anchorage inadvertently had the wrong bill. We're dealing with the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 6, the finance version of it, and it was not a plot to confuse him. It was an honest mistake by the coalition. No, if I may continue, Section 4 you'll find on page 7, line 17. The Senate version adds to the list of offenses that result in immediate revocation of the driver's license. Driving while license is canceled, suspended, revoked, are in violation of a limitation. Section 7 is on page 9, line 29. The House version allowed a court to grant limited license privileges to a person convicted of DWI or refusal to submit to a breath test if he had no prior convictions. But the limitation was only for the final 60 days. In other words, he would have a 90-day sentence or a 90-day revocation of license. The first 30, he could not get a limited license. If he was a good boy and behaved himself and got off and didn't get arrested again, he could get that license, a limited license, for the balance of that sentence, which would be 60 days. The Senate version allows for limited license privileges only in the conviction of the DWI, but not on the conviction of refusal. In F of, is it a point of order? No.
Mr. Speaker?
Representative Clarkson.
I'm sorry, the State Affairs Chairman was asking after each section whether there were any questions. I do have a question on that section, if you don't mind me interrupting. On that specific point, the Senate has changed the bill so that the body may remember the issue about limited licenses and the fact you can only get a limited license for the last 60 days. The Senate has changed that so you may get, apparently has changed it, so you may get a limited license only if your license was taken away for drunk driving, but you may not get a limited license if your license was taken away for refusal to submit to a breathalyzer. I don't see the reasoning in that. If there were any reason for that, it would be the reverse, that the drunk driving penalty is the more serious penalty and that you should not allow a limited license for that. I wonder if the State Affairs Chairman could explain why, if he knows, why the other body chose to take away the right to a limited license for people that took the breathalyzer, but not for people who were drunk drivers. May we have a brief at ease?
Will the House please stand at ease?
Boone.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Back to Section 7 in F of that section. The Senate version makes it clear that the purposes of determining the number of prior convictions, DWI and refusal, if arising out of a single transaction, are considered one previous conviction. In other words, if a drunk driver got nailed for drunk driving, he also got nailed for refusing to take the breathalyzer test, that's two offenses. That's be the second offense. You understand what I'm saying there? I see you're right up on it and awake this morning, okay? Section 13, any questions on that particular area? Section 13, the Senate version contains a requirement that the chemical breath test be given within 4 hours after the alleged offense is committed in the DWI determination. Within 4 hours. Section 15, Senate version contains a new section to make it clear that for the purpose of sentencing for DWI and refusal, if arising out of a single transaction is considered a one prior conviction. That's what I was speaking of before that. Section 20, the same method of determining the number of prior convictions is used in sentencing for refusal to submit to a breath test. That was section 20. I apologize to the body for not giving you the page and the line number. Section 20 you'll find on page 18, line 13. Section 22, Senate version adds, now section 22 is on page 19, line 3. Senate version adds to the section dealing with the administration of the chemical test without consent a provision that a person who is unconscious or incapable of refusing a refusal need not be placed under arrest before a test is administered. They had a terrible time with that because it came out that if the man was unconscious at the time due to an accident, they were going to arrest him first, and then they're going to take a breathalyzer test. It was kind of a peculiar thing. Anyway, on section 24, page 22, on line 11, adds as a new function of the district judge and magistrate the review of administrative revocation of a person's driver's license when designated as a hearing officer by the Commission of Public Safety and with the consent of the administrative director of the state court system. In other words, it adds the function in there. This has been cleared with the Department of Safety. I objected to having it go in there. I thought perhaps we were building another layer of bureaucracy. But in this particular case, I'm quite sure it's going to save the courts an awful lot of trouble and the attorneys an awful lot of time in bringing these things to a head on drunk driving. Now, that is be the conclusion of the changes, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, just to clarify, the period of time between convictions for purposes of determining whether you've committed a first violation or a second violation has been reduced from 15 to 10 years. Is that correct? The only other thing, Mr. Speaker, for those that might retain the slightest interest in this, the question I just raised before the at ease with regard to revocation for drunk driving, but or a limited license allowed for drunk drivers, but not for those who are have their license taken away simply because they refuse to take a breath test. The reason for that inconsistency or the thing that doesn't make any sense there, we've had explained to us, is because there are federal regulations which will trigger the release of federal funds which require precisely that. Those regulations, in my mind, don't make any sense at all. It's the drunk, if there's anybody that should not get a limited license, it's the drunk driver, not the person who's refused a breathalyzer. But in the interest of trying to make this legislation consistent with the federal regulations so that we can get some federal grant money in this area, highway safety, that provision was inserted. That's for those of you that wanted to know the answer to that. I have no further questions or objections to the adoption of the Senate version.
Representative Boone?
Yes, just one concluding statement. I would like the body to know that we are in, we do conform to the federal regulations, to the Highway Safety Acts of the federal government, which have just come out with new regulations, which if you do not conform with them, you're not eligible for any of the grants or the monies, the federal grants for it. There is some $75 million that is available, and our state, by the enacting of this legislature, will allow us to have a portion of that, and so far I believe we will be the third or the fourth state in the union to comply with our drunk driving laws, and I think we could be very proud of the fact that we have the most stringent drunk driving laws in the nation today, and I'm very pleased with that, and we will be getting some federal monies
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments? Representative Malone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One question I think that was raised in this legislation time was considered in the House, and the question still there is in the last section of the bill, section 20, I guess it's whatever it is, section 23, but anyhow, it appears on page 22 on lines 3 through 10, dealing with municipal impoundment and forfeiture, and it appears to have contradictory language. It says, notwithstanding other provisions, a municipality may adopt an ordinance for the impoundment or forfeiture of a vehicle. An ordinance with elements substantially similar to 2835030 or 2835032, substantially similar. The next sentence says, an ordinance adopted under this section is not required to be consistent with this title or regulations adopted under this title. So the question is it appears that this section of the legislation is internally inconsistent in that in one sentence we're requiring the ordinance to be substantially similar to 2835032. The next sentence is, it says it's not required to be consistent with it, and some explanation of that could help a little bit, because it does appear to me to be internally inconsistent, that section of the bill.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The city of Anchorage at the moment has that was put in before this bill, even during the time it was being formulated. They have an impoundment feature for the city. What we're saying is we're not going into the impoundment feature. It caused too many problems on a statewide basis, had many problems involving banks, third-party ownerships, and so on. And it really wasn't necessary, and it would cause administratively, it would be an absolute nightmare. The cities themselves may go on their impoundment. However, on forfeiture, they must confine to the, they must adhere to the to the law of this particular bill on forfeitures. Now, it says that the courts may forfeit, not shall. It does not mandate the forfeiture of the automobile. That's left to the discretion of the courts and the judges. But we've left that open for them to go ahead with their ordinance if they feel that an impoundment is adequate and that's what they want to do. Well, we've allowed them to go ahead with it if it's similar to the 030, which is drunk driving and so on. If the courts feel that that's proper, well, then they have they may do this. But there's nothing in here, I don't believe, that actually mandates that they impound or forfeit.
Representative Malone.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maybe it's a minor point. I don't know. It's just a question of clarity. I guess the issue would be if a municipality, let's say, impounds or requires forfeiture of a motor vehicle that I have under an offense under 2835030 or 032, and I raise the argument that they don't have elements substantially similar to the state law, and they say they don't have to be consistent with it. Where does that all come out? I mean, that's I guess the question that I'm asking in the legislation. I intend to support the legislation, but I wonder about writing this sort of conflict into our law.
May I have it at ease, please?
The House, please stand at ease.
In place. Kenai. That refers to 2835038 under the Municipal Impoundment and Forfeiture. They have to comply with that statute. However, under 2835030 and 032, They do not have to, because that is the DWI and refusal. So there are two sections in there. Would that answer your question, sir?
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the explanation of state affairs, Chairman. I guess I still come out of the same place. It does seem that 038 is internally inconsistent. I suspect the legislature will have to address this problem in the future.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Zaroff.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was just wondering if anybody was going to declare a conflict of interest on this.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 6, Judiciary, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 6, Finance? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
The House has concurred in Senate amendments, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 6, Finance. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The next bill we will deal with is Senate Bill 7. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 7, and I recommend that the members vote no.
Clerk, please read the bill.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 7, Transportation, by the Transportation Committee. An act making an appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for local service roads and trails and providing for an effective date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House recede?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative.
Could I have a brief at ease, please?
Yes, House, please stand at ease. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 7? Members may proceed to vote. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Clerk, please. Has any other member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote?
It went back to
Representative Abood?
I believe that Mr. Listed there it goes back and it fell off.
That was the other bill. Okay. Clerk may take the roll.
One yea, 38 nays.
The House has failed to recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 7. Will the House please stand at ease? Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Might we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me a great deal of pleasure today to introduce three very charming ladies to this body. One I'm sure many of you know. Dorothy Nelson is with us today from Tacoma, Washington. She is the mother of one of my assistants and her daughter, Diane Nelson, and Carl Nelson, who works for me's wife, Cindy Nelson. Will you help me welcome them all?
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if I may revert to special announcements.
To special announcements?
Well, announcements.
Without objection, Representative Boud, under announcements.
This is a special announcement. This is a special announcement. We have someone with us today that's celebrating their 32nd wedding anniversary. And when they can put up with people like that, they need a big hand for it. And I'd like to introduce the 32 years ago, Mr. and Mrs. John Cowdery got married. And just one more moment, if I may. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank every member of this House for passing House Bill 6. The people of Alaska are proud of you.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have the privilege of the floor to make a similar kind of announcement belatedly.
You have the floor, Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A member on this floor celebrated his, with his wife, 14th anniversary a couple of days ago, and I forgot to do this, Peter Gall.
Representative Gall.
Thank you very much.
One item of unfinished business that I'd like to deal with is a resolution that passed this body a couple of days ago. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 15, Resources, establishing a joint House and Senate Committee on Oil and Gas. I would like to reappoint for the record those members who have been up to this time appointed, but without the advantage of this resolution. So at this time, I would like to reappoint the House portion of the Joint House and Senate Committee on Oil and Gas, consisting of Representative Cowdery, Chairman, Representative Hayes, Representative Ewing, Representative Ringstad, Representative Vasca, Representative Szymanski, and Representative Davis. Is there further unfinished business to come before the body? Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Adams.
Thank you. The conference committee is scheduled to meet at 2 p.m. this afternoon.
Further announcements? Representative Malone.
Yeah. Speaker, I don't know whether it's the intention to adjourn or recess, but whichever it is, there'll be a House Democratic Caucus in the Butrovich room following that motion.
It is the intention to adjourn. The clerk just checked with the Secretary of the Senate. There are no messages from the other body except a concurrence in a bill that we had on the floor yesterday. We've sent them the message regarding our failure to recede in House amendments to Senate Bill 7. That's already gone over there, so they can deal with it. So there doesn't appear to be any reason to recess the session until this afternoon. Representative Winty? House, please stand at ease. That's Representative Miller.
We've already passed up unfinished business, but I'll still move that Representative Winnie be excused from the call of the House, and he will be out of town, even though it's just in one day, from 1 p.m. tomorrow until 11 p.m. tomorrow.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Winty is excused as requested. Further announcements? Special orders? Representative Miller?
Speaker, again, just a sampler, because the pile is really growing on our rhyming contest for smoking out House Bill 84, but just to let the members know what progress is being made, I'll give you just a quick sampler here again. There once was a fellow most mean who invented a smoking machine. Both concave and convex, it would kill either sex, much like the old guillotine. And here's another one. The majority leader has a mission, which is concurred in by the Rules Coalition. For them, the no smoking bill is in all probability will not be moved except by nuclear fission. Another is, we've had a most serious year, what with dog bills and taxes on beer. Move the smoking bill, Jack. There isn't a lack of those who want air that is clear. And finally, Mr. Speaker, there once was a smoker named Jack who smoked about 5 1/2 packs. He said, House Bill 84, oh, what a bore. It's down at the bottom of the stack.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That last one's a little inaccurate, but on the same subject, sir.
Yeah, the floor.
Non-smokers who are all felt afflicted by those who to weed were addicted raised a bill, hue and cry, sent to rules for to die, and it did that just as predicted.
Representative Boone.
This is the end. This is the end of it, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to contribute my contribution. If you take my cigs away from me and make me shake and quiver, I'll have to turn to booze, my friend, and that will kill my liver. To be a friend of mine, you see, with actions not provoking, just leave me be, you big turkey, and let me do my smoking.
Representative Miller.
I forgot to make one announcement. We've requested, and I'm sure they'll do it, the Alaska Lung Association to judge which is the best of the of the pro House Bill 84 limericks. I would suggest to the Rules Chair and the Minority Leader that perhaps they might contact the Alaska Morticians Association to see if they could do theirs.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the same subject, I just counted only 15 smokers in this chamber.
Representative Gall? Oh. Further special orders? Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House stand adjourned until 10 a.m. Saturday, June 25.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.